Hi Aida, wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
Hallo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harmontown is now in session. Welcome, one and all. Thank you so much for coming down here to Nerdmouth Theater in Hollywood, California. And thank you to all you beautiful weirdos listening on the podcast universe. Please join me in welcoming the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
thank you. Tonight I'd like to complain a lot. Just in one of those moods, I have a lot of things I'd like to complain about. And they're actually, I've categorized them all. I've specifically, because complaining isn't charismatic, ever. You could complain even if you had one leg. And if you complained about it too much, people secretly behind your back would be like, we won't shut the fuck up about... It's like, just fucking own it, man. But the guy with one leg that comes in and goes like, hey, let's hop to it. And everyone's like, Leonard owns it. He loves it. You know, we don't like... Complaining primatologically is not an attractive feature. It doesn't... It's a... strangely enough, it seems to have been selected very highly in our species, because we all complain a lot. But it doesn't seem to turn anybody on. Audiences don't like it. And especially in my situation, I find I have a lot of things to complain about. So I want to start a new feature, a new Harmontown feature, because people in podcasts, they like little categories and features.
Yeah, little desk bits.
So I thought in the green room, we call this feature Things I... I'm afraid to complain about, because it'll make me sound like an asshole.
Things Dan's Thank afraid you. To complain about. Things Dan's afraid to complain. Where's the music?
Yeah. I mean, here's a classic example, just to start you off. What do you mean, Dan? What kind of complaint can make you sound like an asshole? Doesn't every complaint make you sound like an asshole? No, I complain about lots of stuff all the time. This show's very hard to do, by the way. It's hard to come down here. You think you're a small audience? I have a small heart. But here's a real humdinger. I'm gonna
Things
lead big.
Dan's afraid about number one.
Yeah. My gardener is doing something wrong. I'm not finished. I can't put my finger on it. But my decorator agrees. He backed me up on it. He was leaving. My decorator,
right,
looked at my front lawn and said, "Your gardener's doing something wrong," and I agree. I said, "Kurt, you're right."
Is your decorator Greek?
He's or
gay?
Did I make him?
You made him gay. You made him. Yeah, you did a gay character.
Yeah, I did. Well, he is a gay character. I don't think he would deny that. He's a decorator. If he's straight, he's required to act gay if he wants business. Like he buys pillows for a living. He knows where his bread's buttered.
Do you think that's a possibility that he's faking?
I think the pressures are on. I could imagine for real. Like, even though that seems like sitcom kind of fodder, truthfully, if you were in the decorating business, I could picture the pressure being on you. The feeling of disappointment from the rich people that answer the front door, and you're like, "Hey, Carl."
I had to drop my wife off.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. I don't know. I think there's probably pressure on him. He could be straight as an arrow. That doesn't matter though. I have no complaints about that. I have a complaint about the fact that the person whose job it is to water and... I'm not even sure what his job is, but he's doing something wrong. The plants feel lifeless. And I'm not allowed to complain about that for obvious reasons. You guys don't have gardeners.
No, complain about
your buildings have gardeners. My building had a gardener ever since, you know, maybe from my first book. But then you, then when you own a home, you have a gardener.
If you're going to commit to the archetype of rich guy complaining about gardeners, no, and
I won't
designers,
backpedal.
I would say commit.
Yeah, I'm committed. I'm committed to it. Yeah. I'm bringing out the worst. These are the worst things. I don't want you liking me after this feature's done. If you did going in, I want you to go, Jesus Christ, what gardener, decorator? Go fuck yourself. Complaining about it. Fuck you. That's what I'm getting off of my chest.
The plants feel lifeless outside.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's going wrong out there. And really, if the decorator hadn't said anything, I don't think I would have noticed.
he's gay, all right.
Here's the next one. I don't like people trying to help me. That's a short one.
Says the guy who has a gardener and a decorator.
Jeff, if that's where you're going, this is going to be a bunch of slam dunks. Like, that's not.
I'm sorry. Are you one step ahead of me on that one? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, this is the headline on this thing.
I will withhold my witty bone moans.
Well, I mean, I'm a dick. That's the point of the whole thing.
All right.
Do whatever you want, Jeff. Just thank you for not trying to help me. I don't like I went outside my house today and there was some kind of sewer emergency happening. There was a yellow truck and there were two people in dickies and they were putting pitchforks down the hole and tubes and stuff.
Dickies like the fake turtlenecks?
Or what are they called? Isn't dickies also the name of the fucking what are those called? Those kind of industrial kind of coverall shirts.
Yeah,
they're called dickies. Thank you.
Yeah.
They were sticking sticks down the hall. I don't know if there was an alligator missing or something. They had little cones set up.
We have a missing alligator.
Go out there. We got to go to each manhole one by one and poke down it. And if an alligator, if it comes back bit off like a cartoon, then we know we found the right manhole. Then we got to figure out how to get that alligator back to its owner.
He responds to the name Twinkie.
So they're out there, they got cones. Long story short, I don't think King Harmon is going to be able to get out of his garage.
King Harmon?
Yeah. That's like just called myself King Harmon.
Okay,
it's my garage. It's my street. Gotcha. They're in front of it. They're poking sticks down a hole. I went up to them and said, good morning. I'll be coming through here. do you think I'll fit? And they're like, yeah, you will. Yeah, fine. And so I go back to my car, and Erin McGathy gets on the other side. She spent the night. I think it's going somewhere.
Did you guys?
I think if I know what you mean, yes, I did play Fallout New Vegas all night. Yes, I did. Let's just say in hardcore mode. Which is really cool, by the way. Is anybody Fallout New Vegas fans here? I made brief eye contact with one of our few women in the audience. I projected shame onto your face when you're doing nothing wrong. You're just staring forward, like looking and listening. But pulling any video game people, like, oh god, girls. Which is silly because there's lots of girls and I'm sure they all like video games. It's me. That's me. That's the 1-2 punch of sexism and then reverse self-loathing. Like, that's what nerd men do to women.
Yeah.
It's the glass floor with spikes on it in the bottom of the hobby shop.
Not very kingly.
Not very kingly.
Not,
no.
Not befitting a king.
So I get in my car and I back out, and the guy in he gets behind the car, he gets between the car and his poop truck, and he's I can see him gesticulating. He it looked like he was tossing a pizza. Like, and that's not racist because he wasn't Italian. That's how I would describe what he was doing. And just like, hey, Luigi, oh, at the mall to pizza. Like shaking his hands like a Muppet, you know? Like he had sticks on his elbows and it was someone's birthday. That's all I saw. And I'm gonna do whatever I was gonna do. My goal isn't to back my car into your poop truck. I think that's the one thing I know is there. I came over, said good morning to the poop truck driver, and said I'm coming out. He doesn't need. I don't. Now he's standing between my car and the thing he doesn't want me to hit. All he's doing is making me have less space to do my very difficult Y turn around a poop truck. And I was complaining about it the whole time. And Aaron said he's trying to help you. And I don't care. That's what I didn't like about him. He tried to help me. I don't like it. I don't like him. I don't have to say any more about that. I resent the amount that he's been in my life already. I want him out.
There are times when people try to help you and they get in the way. Like that guy was making it harder for you to do the inevitable.
Next item. Everyone should have to wear name tags. All the time, just wear name tags. That's the last time I was ever happy was in kindergarten. Everyone had a Kool-Aid lid around their neck with yarn, and it had their name on it. And I'm sorry I have to walk a tightrope here. Because what I want to say, first of all, is I wish I could say these two things at the same time. But the first thing I want to say is, if your name's Dave. And you're not a lion tamer. You don't have a hat that says Dave on it. Your name's Dave. It's like one of eight names that we have. There's nothing wrong with it. My name's Dan. But I can't. So here's the thing I wish I could say at the same time as that, because it sounds like I'm bullying guys with unremarkable names. I don't want you to be named Xander or Ginger Root or fucking Safari with two R's. And a T. I don't like that either. I don't like you. I don't like people. Your names are not words. They should be like everyone. If you fought a bear when you were a kid, your name should be Fought a Bear. And I think we know we had a chance at that society, and someone fucked it up.
What would your given Indian name be if you were a Cherokee or a Navajo?
You know, I like the idea of it not being up to me. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on a guy. Because then everyone's name would be struggles under the burden of his own dick. weakens in the knees when he pees. And, people are just doing bits, you know?
I'm saying, constantly
the target of jealousy among eagles. comes a river.
Comes a river. Use your imagination as a gifted writer.
Sick teepee owner.
Pretend you're the village and there's an 8-year-old Dan Harmon walking around. Right. What do you think?
Poops his pants. I don't know. Dirty, dirty, dirty face. I was very dirty. I would play under the stairs and stuff. But maybe on the prairie, maybe I was longing for the prairie.
Well, there was no stairs there.
I think I am. I'm a little part Native American in the sense that one of my dad's eight dads was...
Your dad had eight dads?
Yeah, well, he was passed around a lot. So it's not a biological connection, but sometimes I feel the nature calling me. Because one of the guys that hit my grandma was 100% Choctaw. I feel it. Sometimes, when I drive past a gas station, I'm like, I want to get some Lucky Strikes and wear more denim.
If you had,
I want a Jeep.
If you were the chief of a tribe, and you kind of are, you're the mayor of Harmontown. It's similar.
King Harmon.
King Harmon. How would you give an Indian name to your girlfriend, Aaron? What would that be?
Grips like a vice. What? Let's do it. What am I? What am I supposed?
I don't know.
When did comp trolling become instigating? Does anyone remember?
I'm not trying to provoke you. I'm saying you could have said chases clouds away. You could have said something. you made it dirty.
Strawberry head.
Strawberry head.
That's what I call her, and I'd be a little cloud baby.
Aaron. Aaron, you're off mic, but what would your Indian name be for Dan? You can think about that. You can come back.
Yeah, we'll come back to you.
When you've got it, raise your hand and we'll mic you up.
We'll send a guy out with a lav. All right. Moving on. The segment's working. Toothbrush is in hotel rooms, and more importantly, toothpaste. I'll bring the toothbrush, as long as you don't outlaw that,
yeah.
TSA, which is a private company, not a fucking government agency, fucking those people at the goddamn airport. And by the way, I'm not going to lead the charge, but let's all opt out of the fucking scatterback machines. They make me dizzy. They make me nauseous. Something's going wrong. I'm sure it's an urban... We went through an airport with Dino, and Dino was like... in line, and he said, like, you know, the guy who invented that thing won't go through it. and like, he didn't say it, he said it louder than I'm comfortable saying anything in an airport, but he didn't say it like, but you could tell that they were like, they were, and I don't know that it's true, I just know that they reacted to they're sick of hearing about that little nub, edit, and also look up synonyms for
nub
moments, I don't know, and patch it in later with a voice synthesizer. I gotta keep moving, man. I don't want to get on a lot of tangents tonight. That's my Jack Benny like catchphrase.
Yeah.
Did Jack Benny have a catchphrase?
What was his thing? He did the physical thing.
Yeah, there's like
oh, he's boy. A teaser. I wish I knew.
But he started on the radio. I mean, yeah. So he must have had a verbal equivalent of doing that. Like my oh my.
Oh Rochester. Or
heavens
like that.
To Murgatroyd.
That was Snagglepuss.
Yeah. toothpaste. Toothpaste in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to bring toothpaste on the plane. Hotels, your whole, like, you're in the business of trying to anticipate what your guests want. We know you have toothpaste. The cat is out of the bag because every time we call down to the front desk and ask for it, you have it. You have a box of toothpaste. You just don't want to put it in the room because some people might not use it. And you're going to get rich one nickel at a time? Unbelievable. You have a hotel chain. Did you make it out of empty toothpaste containers? Did you use the money to build the 13th floor that you saved in toothpaste? Like, so there's leftover change somewhere in the hotel business. A little packet of toothpaste. You don't make us call down for soap. N-words.
All right. I may have mentioned this before. I have a real problem with the housekeeping's. It's not. They didn't invent this. The women, and mostly women, but probably some men that are the housekeepers in the hotels around the world. They didn't invent this, but apparently there's been a rule, a mandate that they must fold all Kleenex and all toilet paper into that neat little V thing. To make it easier to use, to make the
first sheet set up for you, man.
Or sometimes they
your next shit's on us.
Yeah, yeah. Or they'll take the first three Kleenex and fold it into some kind of rosette. It's like, that doesn't say fancy. That says previously handled.
Yeah. All right. Now we're getting into this. Maybe we'll bring some of you up here.
I would say a little less touching on the toilet paper and the Kleenex. Because I'm going to put this in my nose in a moment. Why do I want your... You clean bathrooms for a living.
The title of this episode will be "I'm Mad as Hell for No Real Good Reason," and I am going to take it.
Begrudging,
but I'm gonna keep complaining anyway. My bathtub doesn't work—the one that would shoot water up my butt. I broke it, I guess, by loving it, and the motor burnt out. And I don't know who installed this thing, but nobody can find the motor. And I'm gonna complain about my contractor too. He can't find my bathtub's motor. He's punching holes in walls, and then he's going, "No, it's not in there." And there's like three holes. He can't find the motor. I'm mad at the guy that invented the motor. I'm mad at the guy that installed it. I'm mad at the contractor. I'm mad at these two old German people that I bought this house from, and they ran down the driveway sniggering and chuckling about counting my money because they knew that fucking bathtub was going to break.
I have to say that there was a Dan Harmon that moved into that house, and there was this big bubble bath, and used to get in the bubble bath because Dan, not famous for bathing,
right?
All of a sudden became Mr. Bubble Bath, and he was up to his tits in lather for the first few months, and shooting a water jet out of the side of the thing up his asshole, jerking off to heaven knows what, and you were. You were happy as a pig in shit for a long time.
That's when you know how happy I was? I didn't have to jerk off to anything. Because that's your big question. What do you take? You take your iPad in there and you put it in a plastic bag in case it falls in? What are you looking at? It's so fun. Nothing. I'm not looking at anything. I was in a little rave. I was just dancing, and maybe I'd put on some music. Maybe like.
And you had the jet going up the booty and.
I'm doing the moves.
You're covered in suds, and then the thing broke, and you've become an irascible asshole.
Yeah, I'm angry. That's what it is. I'm glad we figured this out. This is why it's important to talk to people.
Well, fix that. I say the moment you fix that motor, we're gonna know the difference.
All right. So at the airport, okay? At the airport, these bars that you go to in the airport. Remember, you guys don't remember. There's a culture to this. The idea, when you would go to the airport, the idea was they had bars at the airport, and it was a judgment-free zone because you might be flying in across the world. Like, you don't know, like, oh, it's what's at 6 a.m.? I'll have a margarita because I'm from Australia. I'm selling socks down there, and to me, it's 2 p.m. Or, you know, like, you didn't. So the airport was like this, the idea of an airport bar was supposed to be a better bar than a regular bar. It was a bar where you could, you know, you were floating through. It was like Mos Eisley, you know? Hammerhead could be there, and you know, you talk to a guy that distributes, you know, parts for machines and stuff.
For blasters.
And then you get so drunk, because all you're going to do is get on a plane and maybe die. So you get drunk, and it's like, it's the one fun thing about stuffing yourself into a metal tube and being, like, bossed around by some of the least remarkable people. The anxiety level, the idea that you could die on one of those things. It's safer than a car. I don't care. I want to die in a car. I should probably knock on some kind of wood. I just my hands are on the wheel, or at least I'm in the thing. I don't know. I see what hits me.
I would much rather die in a plane crash than in a car wreck.
Fuck
absolutely.
You, man.
If I'm going down, I want to be a participant.
That's like
I want to be in that roller coaster. And go, Jesus Christ! This is it.
That's like getting shot at a DMV. Like the last thing you see.
No,
is
but
just
at
threshold guardians.
No,
you just feel
at,
like you.
No, at 350 miles an hour though, that's fun. It's gonna be awesome to die in a plane crash. A car wreck is in a movie where they like there's always that Act Two bullshit where some like happy couple's backing out of the driveway and they're like, all right, I'll see you in a second. Smash! And some truck drives them over. That's the anybody that writes a movie with that scene in it, I'm gonna punch in the dick.
All right. Well. Hey, listen, man. What kind of rice?
At my wedding?
Yeah, at your wedding to getting in plane crashes. that's a new thing. That's a new thing. I call it a chain zinger. You ask somebody a nonsensical question and you string them along into your zinger.
But
sometimes you can chain them real long, you know. Well, like
I did it wrong. Do it again. So I go. I think that anyone that writes that sneak attack car crash in a movie should be punched in the dick.
Hey, listen. Was there a fine involved?
For what?
For well, did the ASPCA fine you?
For doing what?
Well, because all of those didn't all the pigeons like explode and stuff.
Did the pigeons explode?
Well, because the rice, I thought they eat rice and then they explode, like when they're at a wedding.
Wait, I was talking about car crashes and plane crashes.
I thought you were going to marry getting in fucking plane crashes. You won't shut the fuck up about it. Wait. Our next guest. Chainzinger. Aaron insists on calling them what kind of rices, which is easier to remember, but it's not going to take off. I'm not going to sell that paperback, you know. I want a Harris Whittles career here. I want a humble brag book on every table.
Can we talk about your brother's bucks, you know, the doll hairs thing?
My brother. My brother, who, by the way, is very upset.
I don't know how many of you are longtime listeners, but his brother, Bones, he's a recurring character on the show.
I read some of his emails. We had Adam read some of his emails. And he was very. I understand completely. I'm not complaining about my brother being offended by how I talk about him, because my goal is to make fun of him when I talk about him. Like I'm squeezing him like a sponge. I'm trying to get joy for other people out of him. He's had enough. He doesn't get any more from me. I want something from him. And he's my big brother, so you get to think about him like that.
I challenge him to fly out from wherever he is to come to Hollywood, California, and be on the show, live on stage. Mm. Hey, everybody. You hear that, Bones, you pussy? They're calling you out. They're calling you out, you pussy.
He can stay at your place, man.
I got a couch. And Bones, maybe, you're staying with me.
Maybe he'll try to convince you he invented peanut butter and jelly.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's standard.
I get to tell people about that's he doesn't get to be mad if your brother tries to convince you he invented peanut butter and jelly when you're kids. When you're 39 and you tell people about that, like, he doesn't get to be mad. Whatever. He can be as mad as he wants. I don't care.
That's adorable big brother, you know, stuff. Yeah, you get to do that.
Anyways, why did we bring him up? Doll hairs. One time, you know that doll hairs thing? I go like, hey, I'll give you $20 if you run into the traffic, and then the little brother does it, and then the big brother says, I said doll hairs. So my brother did that to me once, and I was like, okay, all right. You know, my brain grew a little bit. I was like, all right, note to self, like a little... Well, keep a little leprechaun file if it seems too good to be true, .. and all that. Add a little serotonin connection to the concept of currency and possible wordplay. And so one time he said, like, I don't remember what the dare was, like, go jump over that prickly plant or something. It was stupid. Like, what are we, Br'er Rabbit? He said, I'll give you $100. And I said, and I was a little precocious little kid, so I went, yeah, right. I know that means male deer. Like he's gonna give me 100 male deer. But I was running through. I was like, okay, let's figure this out.
In the old West, that would have been worth like $5,000.
And he said, no, I'm not gonna give you male deer. I said bucks. I'm gonna give you $100. And I was like, okay, bucks. Then nothing. Like, okay. And I jumped over the thing, whatever it was. Right. And then he grabbed me. And he kind of started humping me and said, bucks is short for butt fucks. Now, if he heard me telling that story, he'd get in a big huff. And I mean, you know, he was probably 12. I mean,
he would say it didn't happen.
And right.
He would impugn your memory of that.
Why would I make that up? And by the way, yeah, he was especially livid about this insinuation that I had concocted that he would put a tube sock on his dick and balls and let the sock hang down and be like naked, and he'd run into the living room when my mom was there and be like, and my mom would go, stop it. And so he wrote in his email, he was like, what the fuck are you making shit? Like, what are you fucking, like, people pay you to make up shit like this? Like, kind of like really trying to high road me and like make me feel like I'm, and I said, I have a Polaroid of you doing it. Like, you just, I literally have photographic evidence in my home of you. Yeah, I think mom took the Polaroid. Because you're standing with your hands on your waist like a superhero with a sock on your cock, and then in his next response he was like, this is starting to sound a little gay. You got pictures of me naked of that, like you know, yeah. like just dipping and dodging and like just own the fucking sock. Who cares? Anyways, what was the God damn it? Also, he said, and then he said in the same email, he said, and I did it years before the fucking Chili Peppers.
because I mentioned it. I said, I think that the Chili Peppers did it too. And he bothered to, it's like, you gotta pick a flag, man. Like, that one I like. Like, that, be a big brother like that. Like, how,
I'm an innovator.
I did it way before fucking Chili Peppers. I was like, hey, man, all right, yeah, you know what? I will put a correction section in my, I don't think I implied that the Chili Peppers did it first, by the way. And I, we could talk about this all day, but. His indignance was, you know, kind of shut things down. It made, he successfully made me feel bad for making him the butt of my
jokes. It's like Behind the Music, except he's not in a band.
And when I put myself in his shoes, I fully support his right to be emotionally, like, offended, pissed off, frustrated, irritated, whatever.
Which is why I challenge him to come to California.
I was offering him, I was giving him the heads up and saying, anything you write in an email back in response, like, I'll have Adam read that too, and. Try to get your revenge. I'm not saying that's fair, but it's like what I'm offering. And then he was saying, like, it takes more than that, man. And I was like, what do you want? I don't like him. It's like he wanted me to get him a, I don't know. I just felt like it was moments from asking for a truck or something. Why'd you bring him up? Oh, butt fucks. Yeah, he's done. He's toast. Okay, that's it.
Well, we were talking about, we were at the drawing room talking to Joe Unger about Ring of Fire.
Right.
That's how that came up.
So Joe, who's a regular at the drawing room, we're talking about Johnny Cash. Everyone loves Johnny Cash. Playing him on the jukebox. We're having a good time.
Our friend Joe is a great dude. He's from Tennessee. Talks with a great Tennessee accent, man. Like, you're the real deal. And like, he's the grooviest guy in the world.
He's like an old, yeah, kind of Sam Elliott kind of figure at the drawing room. And then he said today, you know, he wasn't perpetuating this myth, but he said, so somebody, you ever hear somebody told me Ring of Fire?
Wait, he's talking about, is a prisoner he talked to. I was talking to a prisoner. This guy from been in jail. That's the person that told him that. That was going around a prison.
No, right. That Johnny Cash was gay, and that Ring of Fire is about a man's butthole. I don't think that's how being gay works. I don't think that's how being secretly gay country superstar works. That you're like, I feel like such a fraud. I gotta somehow express myself. My sexuality. I'll make a song called Ring of Fire, and the Ring of Fire secretly be a butthole. I don't think that's how it works. I don't believe that theory.
How do you think it works?
I don't know. Like, well, what do you mean? What did George Michael do? What do you do when you're
I think the way to
polysexual
do it.
And you live in a straight-laced homophobic world, and people like to hear you sing and women like to throw panties at you, but you have to write songs. You are ambiguous about the object of your love. You say, "Baby, baby, I love sleeping with you," and you know that you're talking about Steve.
Yeah, you leave he and she out of it.
You don't say, there's a circular tunnel in my future, and I'm going inside it like a train. Its walls are brown, and I look around, and I like to go here again. Butthole. You don't do that. That because that's not what's gay people are human beings is the theme of the show tonight.
We hate to bury the lead.
They're not like kids cereal spokesmodels that just crave buttholes like the way a rabbit craves Lucky Charms or Trix or whatever. They're not defined by
the way a rabbit craves Lucky Charms.
Well, whatever.
An Irish rabbit.
They're not like the cookie crook. The butt is just a thing that there's a correlation. There's not a cause effect relationship. They're not mythical creatures.
So tonight, Harmontown tackles the sensitive issue of homosexuality. We're gonna face this head on, and not in a weird, like, make policy kind of way.
There's been some big doings in the world of gay rights. I saw something on Reddit. I can't remember what it was.
Is anybody well versed on this? Anybody know the recent stuff?
Wasn't there something?
If you're a minor in California, they can't.
Yes. What's your name, sir?
Nathaniel.
though trying to be the fancy version of me. I've grown up hurt by Nathaniels. When you're a Daniel in a Nathaniel's world, it hurts. It's you always feel like less. I wish.
Don't complain.
I wish some just-hearted gym coach could have made you into a Daniel. What Nathaniel reminded me of is, yeah, they passed legislation in California. It's unconstitutional. I don't know what the language is going to be. It's against the law to try to straighten gay kids when they're like, you know, you can't. It's illegal to have programs that cure these cure camps that you go to
and cure camps.
You learn that the reason you're gay is because you don't have enough Jesus in you and stuff, and they put enough into you to make you. Straight and then
basically kidnap them, like it sometimes, and so it's sort of like terrorism.
Because they're minors. Yeah. That guy said they kind of kidnap you when you're calling. Yeah, because it's like if you're we the law gets fuzzy when it's like drug addiction and mental illness and stuff. And if you're a minor, then you don't have any right. But what if you're not addicted to any drugs and you're not crazy? You're just 16 and you're kind of gay. You know, California now says mom and dad have to answer to the law if they stuff you in the station wagon and take you to a special place where they show you the glory of the vagina by flashcard. Just pointing at it with a pointer.
That's how I learned it, Dan.
And it, a trail of M&Ms into these fiberglass vaginas. Or little trails of dicks. I got like because they're like, look, we know, like we're gonna wean you off it. So no pun intended.
Little flashcards. The flashcards. There's 100 of them. They start off like dicks, but they slowly morph into like kind of neuter, and then they become a vagina at the end.
If they actually made approaches like that, that would be great because that would actually just break down even more barriers. Because halfway through the morphed dick vagina, some kids would go, wait, that's what I like. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm Googling it.
I like that half dick vagina thing.
I like that.
No, that's not a thing. It is now.
I like
now.
That very small hole with a clitoris the size of a flashlight. I don't know what you call that. Some kind of Dr. Seuss creature. I want one of them.
Yes, I learned it by watching you.
Anyways, yeah. Thank you, California. And there was I thought there was other stuff. You know what?
Wait.
Know,
so how can we? Is it,
you know, you know what I love about gay rights? This is what I love about it. As a straight, white, fat, lazy liberal, gay rights is so easy. It's not easy for gay people. They're going through a turbulent time of trying to be treated equally. There's being bullied and whatever. They want to create a world for themselves and their loved ones where shit like that doesn't matter to the goddamn government. In a world where so much more weird shit doesn't matter to the government, like they can look the other way on a lot. I'm proopsing it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not his level. I don't read the newspaper. But the gay rights thing is so easy. Like you don't expend any energy being in favor of it. But it's like you know those women that yeah. Like remember when that little girl got killed, JonBenet Ramsey, the little girl. And sometimes this happens in the news. I know it's all quiet down. There's always the people like you read about them in like kind of articles and others. It's like a periphery to the story that because the story is happening. There's people outside the suspect's house, like yelling at them, going like just, you see it on the news. You'll see like B-roll of just like these women. It's usually women. I it's okay for me to say that because I realize that women are these are crazy women. This is not they're not crazy because they're women. I think they're like watching the news and they see that someone may have killed a baby and they like. They get so excited, like because the lines between good and evil are so simple for them for a change, and they just show up outside these houses with like bloody Barbie dolls and go, "Whore killer, whore, you're a killer, baby killer!" Like, and it's like you want, well, like what a brave stance. You're such a hero. You're so, you like, I should really pitch in, you know, and here I am on my way to work while I let the justice system deal with someone who may have killed a baby. I should really be on the front lines of things, letting that person who may or may not have killed a baby know that I'm against killing babies.
Dan, are you soft on baby killing?
Softer than these strange people. And I guess that there's
Dan Harmon,
there's a relationship
soft on
I'm
baby
drawing
killing.
There. I'm pointing at myself. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. And
Dan Harmon would rather have a jacuzzi jet up his asshole than save a baby being killed.
Come on, man. I'm in the middle of a... I can't remember what I was saying. It's just more like comp interrupterling. Interloping. I don't know. I'm an advocate of my gay chums. I want them to have everything that they can possibly have and more. I'll say it more. I think they should be gayer, and they should have more the gayer they are. I think there should be a social program that if you register as an official gay person, you should have a better car. Because you're out there representing the forefront of a raised consciousness.
A gay reward system.
Yeah, give you like a little, whatever. I'm being glib, but why is that so easy for me to say? Well, because it's easy. Because the alternative is like you're like these idiots. Like who cares what gay people do? How often do you get an opportunity to be heroic by saying I don't care what you do? It's like that's a lazy person's dream. So I'm calling myself out on that. Is my point. I'm being like a fat Southern lady on the front lawn of a suspected murderer yelling baby killer when I say, "Great job, California, on passing that gay legislation."
Yeah,
yeah. Who cares, Harmon? What your cookies in the mail from the Gay Federation?
How do you think you could properly reward the gay community? Like what?
With a big kiss. I don't. What do you mean? Money? I don't know. I give to that organization. I should give more. Actually, I think I slouched out of it this year. I'm not saying this is where anyone should spend their money, but I something very comforting to me about it. There's the I can't. It's called the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, and they the money that you give them goes to just helping like super like. You know, like teen runaways, basically, specifically who are running away from a life that's being hard on them because they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, whatever, or transgender, and they kids that are going to end up like because of that, you know, they're just going to become a statistic. Their life's going to go downhill. They kind of like it's a shelter you can go to, and like they give you a certain amount of time that you can just stay there for free and get your shit together. And there's some, you know, there's programs and stuff from there that try to kind of just try, because a lot of people come to LA like running from shit in Iowa, and it's a nicer place for someone to end up if they're, anyways, you know, hunger is a better thing to solve with your money. I'm not whatever. I asked how to give back to the gay community. If you're wondering, the Library of Congress suggests the LA Gay Lesbian Center. I probably got the name wrong.
I was on the road doing comedy shows. We were like in central like Missouri and Illinois, and I'm straight, but not. But I, you know, you wouldn't like if I walk when I walk into a restaurant or a bar in really rural America, they're safe to assume that I could be from the moon. Like I don't look like anybody that's from there. And when I say, "Oh, do you have anything that's vegetarian?" I almost get gay bashed for that. Like being vegetarian in certain parts of the country is pretty rough. So I feel like I can relate to the to the persecution.
Yeah, well, it's like I feel bullied by my gardener. You know, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think that's fair. Like, do I have to learn special gardener language?
Dan,
what would you call it? Spanish? In order to be able to say, sorry, Julieta, our friend visiting from Mexico.
You're not a gardener. You are?
I have one.
You have a gardener.
I'm rich. Yeah,
she's rich.
What nationality is your gardener?
Mexican.
There you go.
So it must be so much more uncomfortable there, right? Like, I'm kidding.
Dan, can we talk about the fact that you told me a story about that sometimes your TV turns on?
Wait, I want to ask Julieta something. I have an actual Mexican national in the audience. I want to ask about the music, because there's guys working on my house right now. This is continuing the theme of unlikability. I'm an uncharismatic person. I am lazy. Well, it sounds like polka, yeah. Are you? Oh, sorry.
I'm Mexican.
Okay. Well, want a cookie? No. I know. You want? he made a very sad face and held out his hand and nodded his head.
Is that norteño style, right? That accordions, right? Yeah.
It sounds so much like polka though that it's crazy. It's like Joseph Campbell would go crazy. Like, wait, what? I don't understand the connection between Poland and Mexico.
Spain.
Well, that's the geographic connection. Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. So
German immigrants to the northern of the country, and then it just merged.
Huh.
And now everybody likes it, and I'm running away from it.
Do we have that mic'd, or should we repeat that for the podcast? So that's probably not going to be heard, right?
Should we have Julieta come up as a special guest?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to bring Julieta up from Mexico. Juliet, everybody, from Mexico. She's going to explain to us why the polka music sounds like polka.
Here, you can take this mic and I'll grab one.
Okay. Yeah, this is a very interesting story from the north of the country.
Wait, I want to introduce you first. Julieta, for hardcore Armenians, like people who are cross-platform, multiple-year Armenians, Julieta is a community fan who draws a lot of the cool community fan art you'd see here on Twitter. She's at Juju Julieta.
Yeah.
At Juju Julieta. If you've seen some interesting like community fan art, some of which I have hanging in my home, Julieta is one of the many. She was based in Mexico and she's out here visiting and looking for job opportunities and stuff. So now
don't tell immigration.
I want to hear the story. She's out here getting married. is that how it works? I don't know. She's out here taking pictures of the Hollywood sign.
Yes, that's
over and over again.
Do
you think immigration listens to podcasts?
I absolutely have no intentions in stealing jobs from American or you know, stealing their wives. That's not what I'm doing here.
Just also check your clothes for seeds and other agriculture when you go home.
I am definitely not smuggling anything.
I don't want any of our fine iceberg lettuce growing, and it'll fuck up your whole ecosystem. You know, it's 98% water. That's the secret. I want to hear the story of the guy climbing in your window. And
you really want to hear that story?
Yeah, it's like I watch CNN again. We don't watch CNN, so like here's a glimpse of just this small part of where in Mexico are you from?
I'm from Monterrey. It's in the northeast of the country, just south of Texas.
Right.
Yeah, it's the pretty cool way to the States.
Do you want
to
tell that story that you were watching? You were watching Community.
I was watching the Claymation episode. It was like 7:45 p.m. I was watching it on stream or something, and suddenly a guy just went into this room. My house is very weird, and I just like looked away from my computer. I was reading an article on the studio, and I was just like, "Excuse me." And then he was just like, I'm going to take this. He was just trying to grab my brother's laptop.
He came in the window.
No, just through a door.
Oh, it came through the door.
Through a door, yeah.
Jesus. Innovative.
What he did,
still
though,
illegal, somebody said. So we got a lawyer in the crowd. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're going to hear the defense emphasize that he came through a door. And that you come through doors on your birthday. And when you love your mother, you come through a door. It's still illegal. It's not a...
Actually,
you show clips from Twilight.
Actually,
is it not true, though, Julieta, that you use your door as a window sometimes?
Don't you?
Yes.
I quote your uncle at a movie theater. This is from last July. He said you made a better door than a window.
The prosecution rests.
All right, sorry. Anyways,
yeah,
the guy.
No, actually, he jumped a fence and he dropped about 18 feet because my house is really strange. And then he came through that door.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
He was a desperate man coming in.
Yeah, he had already tried to steal a car before that.
Same guy?
Same guy. And he also tried to rob a woman with a knife before that. He got nothing right because in the end, my dad, he just beat the shit out of him.
Right.
And, yeah.
It's like Deadwood down there.
Yeah, at some point, my mom came out with a sword. I am not kidding.
Wait. It's like Tokyo down there.
I am not kidding.
Your mother wields a sword?
She's a fencer. She did fencing.
Oh, really?
She did fencing, so she likes swords. And she had like
a saber or épée?
No, it was an épée.
All right, épée. Yeah.
This guy picked the wrong house.
Definitely. And then my dad is like 6'4", so it was just...
He's like the Spencer. They call him L. Spencer. Spencer's our dungeon master. He's a giant.
So what happened to the guy? Your dad kicked the tar out of him?
And then my mom was like, your dad's glasses. He can't see without these glasses, because he took the glasses off to fight the guy. The guy's in jail for the next 14 years or something. Wow. It's like, finally, something worked out.
And you left all that to come here, huh?
That was like 2 years ago.
Really?
Almost three, so...
But that was the point where you started, you're like, I should get a passport.
I already had one, but it's like, I really need to get the fuck out of here. First thing pushing me out was the music.
Yeah. We're talking about the music. So, all right, this polka music. Repeat what you said as an explanation for how polka-sounding music ends up coming out of a boombox or the guys that are painting my ceiling, like who don't seem Polish, but the music sounds so... I'm from Milwaukee. I know Polish culture. I bowl. I have like 150 average. I get spares and stuff.
Yeah, but this story is not as interesting. It's just German immigrants coming to the north of the country and just settling there and mixing with the people from there. And that's why people like me are white in Mexico. that's basically it. And it's like just regional music, and it's awful. But it's mostly from the north of the country.
But I assume because country western is pretty. It sounds pretty similar, and a lot of like when you get specific with a specific type of music, like, and you're just listening to that type of music, like, I can't tell the difference between I don't even know what genre of music you call it when you hear like a young black woman going, "'Cause you made me feel in my titties, I felt so." Like, it's kind of like, it's more of a, like a showcase of their vocal cords, and there's no, you can't even hear the music behind it.
You're R&B,
like,
wow, maybe you call that.
She's got some pipes on her, like, I wouldn't know.
Devil Soul?
If you played three of those in a row, I'd be like, is this the same album? And you'd get mad and go, no, that was like, one thing was from 78, and I'd go, I'm sorry, I don't know.
Can we hear a little more of that?
Yes!
You treated me kind! My titties from the break of dawn to the evening light. We fit the time when you give me you win, win, in the city.
In the city. That's Lou Reed. Let's hear it for Juliana. Thank you,
Juliana,
for coming.
Our correspondent from south of the border.
If you're looking for someone to draw something, and you can provide something that would work on a work visa form, you know.
You want to be an animator or?
I'm an animator.
You are an animator, yeah. So. Juju Julieta at Twitter.
Was that a fight? Did you guys have a fight there? Do you want to be an animator? I am an animator. It was a little fight.
Oh, wow.
I'm the only one that picks up on this stuff. I know when people are pissed. Julieta's pissed.
That was pretty good singing, Harmon. I didn't know you had that range.
You made me feel good. Now my titties going down to the avenue.
I mean, I'm very 70s racist with the titties in the avenue and the street. The city. Yeah. And so the lyrics, like it's like who am I thinking of? Like they say, if you pick out the lyrics, like it's really just about like it's about loving and people being loved and are you coming to love me and I let you go and yeah, it's just so because you're not listening, you're listening to the person and going like, holy shit, she can really sing.
But you have a surprising range of octaves. You're like Mariah Carey. God rest her soul. I wasn't trying to be funny.
Do you remember when Whitney Houston died and the next day her best of album was like
cynically released?
It was just $5 more.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right.
And everyone thought it was. Everyone wrote into Apple and said, "How dare you? That's really crass and disgusting. Have some respect." And Apple went, "Oh no, we have." As you might expect, Apple is run by a computer. The price goes up when the wholesale price goes up. Like it's just an algorithm, and everyone slowly turned to Sony Records. And Sony Records went, "Oh, what the hell? What a mistake! I don't know." No apology, no admission of ghoulism. No, just a simple, like, "I didn't do it. Did Jerry? Did you do it?"
"I didn't do it." "What's her algorithm?" "I ain't got no algorithms over here."
I hope her beautiful sounding ghost is hitting high C boos in their freezeways, keeping their children awake.
Ooh, boo! What's the highest note you can hit? Because you got pretty high there. Start in your middle, like baritone tenor, and then I want to see how high you can actually hit a note. Well, I was impressed there.
Is there a song that goes up to a certain point?
Should we get a song? All right. I will always love you.
I don't know the lyrics to that. I'm sorry.
I know that part,
but I need to lead up to it, right?
Don't hitch your wagon to any real song. Like, give
you. I wanna lead up to it. You gave myself the best of me. And you gave you myself to. You treated me good. And you made me feel like I could go high. This is as high as I can go. Is that like an A cup? What is the terminology?
I think that was flat L.
I'm sick of having these conversations about head high versus body high at the dispensary. I don't get it. I'm never gonna get it. It seems to me that if my body gets high enough, my head's gonna freak out anyway. I don't know. There's no logic to that distinction. If my head gets high, because here's what I want to avoid: smoking pot and freaking out and going like, "I shouldn't be smoking pot. I'm 39. What am I doing with my life?" And then running into the street like Martin Lawrence in my underwear, but on pot, you know, and just going like, "I'm getting hungry and falling asleep." But I just how is that? How does that help? Going, "Well, it's more of a head high." What does that mean? What is a head high? That's stupid. I'm complaining about this. This is in my segment of complaining about things you have no right to complain about.
But you can't tell the difference between those two things?
Well, I don't know. I can't, because if your body gets high, what does that mean? That doesn't make any sense.
Your arms and legs don't work, and like your body is all like your.
It doesn't. That's not how. That's
for
it,
me. Like,
that's
yeah.
not a thing, though. Your head's not like on top of a body that's like is high. That's dumb.
Wait,
that
Dan,
doesn't
Dan,
happen.
Dan, hold on. Do you do drugs?
No, I have.
If I find out that you have been doing drugs,
I have a lot of anxiety, and I have a prescription. This is the great state of California, and
so you got renewed.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Body high. just gonna commit to that. I don't know. It's always
body.
Got stuff on the board. It says like banana fruit yucca, Obi-Wan Skywalker, Yoda plenty, OG Koosh Koosh, orange dynamite. Like
orange.
You give it a rest. You guys are high. Like you go into these places and it's like. You guys were high when you furnished this place. You were high when you said let's open a pot store. You were high last night when you took inventory. You're high when you're giving me change. It's adorable. I'll take 20 grams of apple nut Cinecruise.
Dan,
like the Terminator.
I want to give you a challenge. I love apple nuts and a cruise, but would you name me three other strains of weed at your dispensary?
Yeah, like Octo Diamond and Blue Monkey and Critter Bitter, Back Tax. Romney Razor. Back to the Future Part Koosh. Desperado. Mindy Kaling. Extreme. All right. Well, did Spencer get here?
Spencer? Spencer, come up on stage right now. Spencer, our dungeon master, get up here. And also, before Spencer sets up, a reminder: Halloween. What's the Harmontown rent before Halloween?
There's one on the 22nd, and then there's one on the 29th. And for the 29th, I would say that is our that's going to be our Halloween night. And
Dan and I and Aaron McGathy will all be dressed as Jareth from the movie Labyrinth, David Bowie's character. And we encourage you all to come here. We want a room full of Jareths. We want the more Jareths, the better, and may the best Jareth win. And we're all going to find some poor fucking bar in Los Angeles. And I want 900 Jareths to walk into that bar. So please, October 29th, please come in your Jareth costume.
You got a mic over there, Spencer?
Yeah.
Did anyone who wasn't drinking as much as me remember, did Adam Goldberg close the show last week?
He did.
It was glorious.
Adam, are you here?
Yeah.
If I recall, you sang an aria to end our show last time.
Did you come up on stage?
He did. He stood right here and he sang a...
It's all a blackout.
He kind of sang like a Man of La Mancha kind of thing up here, and it was fantastic.
Was it good?
Was it good? It ended our show.
Well, I don't know. Maybe people got mad and left.
No, it was triumphant.
I can't remember.
It was a triumph.
Spencer, catch us up with one of your patented Spencer recaps.
All right. Let's see here. When we last met, our heroes. You guys are throwing me off. When we last met, our heroes were turning in a quest to the captain of the wardens, Ferris, played by Greg Proops. It was cool. After getting the quest turned in, they adjourned to the tavern where they met with Cha-Cha. Cha-Cha reminded them of their encounter with Tylenol with codeine, a mystical unicorn revealed to be the patron saint of the Connie Forest. There was a guy who gave you guys horses. He gave you a strange emerald dagger.
Right.
Right.
You were introduced to the hastily cobbled together figure, Admiral Darkstar.
All right. It was said that he owns, he's lords over part of the forest that Tylenol lives in. And there's an evil part of the forest that is threatening to overtake the good part of the forest.
The forces of Admiral Darkstar threaten to overtake the forest of Kani through the shadows.
And he's an admiral in what navy?
He's got a... You don't know. I mean, you All don't right. have, like, the internet.
Okay. All right.
Snap. Dungeon snap.
It's a very snarky god.
You got... You got dungeon snapped. All right, so
you dungeon snapped me, feeding my bosom like the ocean, deep as my heart.
dungeon, snap, dungeon, snap!
You guys are clapping wearily like anyone asked you to clap. Like,
no, Dan, that got precisely the amount of applause I deserved.
I didn't want any, so, and I resent you acting like I wanted any by slow clapping it, like a tired old rich uncle.
No, they were just punctuating it. Like,
yeah.
All right, Spencer, where do we stand right now?
You had fallen asleep at camp. You awake in a stupor, and you're not sure exactly what's happening. Tylenol with codeine is gone. Was he really there, or did you imagine the whole thing? All the same, you feel like you should investigate the Forest of Shadows.
Where did Mulrain Sedana go, our half-elf companion?
You want to come up here? Is she playing? I don't know.
Well, I know she was gone last week, and we just went and hung out with the unicorn, so I don't think she's there.
Wasn't she killed in your high adventures? You had managed to wander away from your compatriot, Mulrain Sedana, but being a ranger adept at tracking, she's managed to find you.
Yeah.
You'll never get away.
Mm. Yeah, that's good dungeon mastering there. Yeah.
All right.
Adventure.
Spencer, I investigate our surroundings.
You see a winding path that heads towards gnarled dark trees. Perhaps these are twisted by the arcane workings of the Forest of Shadows.
I think that's where we're going. You know, we're still first level. We keep acting like we're up for bigger and badder shit, but like we keep getting our, you know, I don't know. I'm just a little worried. I would like to exercise caution. I don't want to die. Which is cute. You know, we're not level 2.
Well, look, I'm a gnome barbarian, and I'm always spoiling for a fight. And if there's one thing that I hate, it's a gnarled tree. I'm going to go right out those motherfuckers.
We don't even know. So far, we've been mercenaries, like working for a promised reward, you know, some bauble.
Are we after anything right now?
Well, now we're just aligned. Now we're just caring about a unicorn's forest.
Spencer, what are we headed toward? What's our goal right now?
Admiral Darkstar hosts a dark ziggurat deep within the Forest of Shadows where his dark cult...
What's
meets.
A ziggurat again?
Yeah, what is a ziggurat?
It's like a temple. Temple to ancient evil, mayhaps, where dark rituals and sacrifices and midnight
And what's
sermons.
A, what's a, what, what's, well, I have you. What's a duvet?
I don't know.
It's just a blanket, right?
It's a sheet that you put a blanket inside. And
No, it's a it's the inside part. There's a duvet cover, and then there's a duvet.
Yeah, you put the duvet in there.
Isn't that just a comforter?
do you have a duvet in your inventory?
Oh, he knows what a ziggurat is.
I've got a bedroll. Is that like a duvet?
Yeah, I had a bedroll. I lost my bedroll.
Spencer,
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Here's a bad pitch, crazy pitch.
Okay.
Like,
hey, just spitball.
All right. Like, it's a very dangerous life we're living, and I there's nothing wrong with just walking away from this dark forest. It's gonna take over the light forest, and I mean, is anyone really gonna die? It's just gonna be a darker forest. They're already like hazardous places. Like,
what sort of life are you going to go back to? What do you got back home?
Well, I'm not going to go back home. I just want to do different adventures.
Do what?
Well, we don't even know who we are, man. what is this world?
I thought we made an agreement that when we met in the mines of Calderon.
Yeah, the Howling Mines of Calderon.
Dude, do you not remember the Howling Mines of Calderon?
It's not cool to bring that up. And I storm off, and we're at a campfire. I storm off into the woods.
I catch up with Quark. Quark.
Sharpie. I'm Sharpie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Should I leave?
No, I was speaking to the both of you. Perhaps you should just kiss each other's ring of fires. And be happy. Yeah. Call back.
Why do we keep hanging out with a homophobic elf?
I'm not homophobic. Zach, why are you? You're homophobic by discouraging the homosexuality. I'm a homo and courage omic.
I'm out of earshot of this because I've picked a sentimentally lit like clearing in the woods. If possible, if there's a place where there's a lake, like I'm looking at the lake, but I'm not presuming the presence of a lake.
Is there a lake?
Like. And I'm looking, and I'm seeing the reflection of my father's face on the water, and I want to, and I'm having flashbacks to like my early life, like I'm just hearing like echoey voiceover of like things like, Sharpie, you gotta try harder than that. You're no son of mine.
I'm kissing my arrows. That's how I count.
Well, if you guys are going to stand around and play grab ass, I'm going to go toward the gnarled trees. If you want to part company, I'm more of an adventurer than maybe you are.
I feel guilty and catch up with Quark.
I'm going to keep having my emotional moment, but I want to do it in turns, you know. I don't want to take up any more time than an average round of melee.
Do you want to do it in song, maybe?
No.
Do you want to look in the lake and maybe sing in a high falsetto?
Like, I'm having like a Dexter flashback to like my like a conversation with my dad and his magic workshop. Dad, what are you doing? Oh, making a wand, son. Oh, sorry.
Making a wand, son.
So is the wand magic automatically just because you make it?
Oh, you're magic. We're all magic.
I am magic.
God damn it, you're a hit.
Dad.
I hit you.
Ow. All right.
I'm sorry, son. It's not about you. I just, God.
Dad, what is it? You can talk to me about anything.
It's your mother.
I had a mother?
You have a mother. I keep her in a hole underneath pounds and pounds of leaves. She's giving me a lot of shit lately for keeping her in that hole.
My God.
Just don't get mixed up with a woman and don't put her in a hole. Also, I have pancreatic cancer.
All right, I shake out of my doldrums and I find my compatriots, newly invigorated by a recent emotional epiphany.
Meeting back up with your compatriots, they seem surprised that you've arrived so quickly.
I just had a flashback at the lake about my parents, and I want to go back to my hometown.
That's right, son. Believe in yourself. That fire inside of you is true, and it's going to burn down any dishonesty.
I can hear him right now. And I'm not going to be able to give my all to this Admiral Darkstar mission while I'm listening to thoughts of my father. I got to go back and talk to him. I got to find out who I am.
Is there a chance that your father is Admiral Darkstar? That maybe the mission...
Oh,
that...
you'd love that, wouldn't you?
No, I'm saying maybe the atonement with the father in this mission is maybe a literal father. Like maybe... What we're after is for you to atone with yourself and your sense of your lack of self-worth and what you call your superiority complex is this weird inferiority complex because you can never live up to the expectations your father put on you.
Promise me something, Quark. If I do this mission with you,
yeah.
We bring Admiral Darkstar to justice.
Yeah.
Come with me to my homeland.
Yeah?
So I can learn who I am.
Mm-hmm. I will do it under one condition. And you have to make me a promise.
I will.
That you'll consecrate this pact in song. And I want you to hit a note higher than you've ever hit in this entire show.
From volcanic mounts of mist, nestled in Gondor's shores, the Butzalot clan majesty spread forever through the fields, and the heart of Sauron himself
couldn't bring the skies to horn, but the swords and steel and horses' hides make brew inside the storm, and the heart of the mountain makes the Buttalop's heart twice as strong. And if you want my steel inside you, don't do me wrong, because my father's horse groomsman was a mightier man than thee, and I'll poop the sun and oceans, and I'll turn the skies to pee.
That's Harmontown, everybody. Thank you for coming.
We'll do. We'll have a real adventure next week. Or next week is.
Well, next week apparently the sky has turned to pee. Ladies and gentlemen, Spencer, our dungeon master.
Hey, Spencer. Good job.
Aaron McGathy, recreating the role of Mole Rain Santana Saldana. All of you wonderful people here, Julieta. Also, while we're at it, Katie Levine, our audio recording, Zach McKeever, tech, Emily Gordon, producer, Daniel Kramer, program director, Justin Marshall, podcast producer, Mo Fathelbab, on-site director, Jenny Feiner, artist. Once again, I'm Jeff Davis. Hear it for Dan Harmon, the mayor of Harmontown. Dan?
Light and heart will shine.
Good night, you motherfucker. We did it.